Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Qasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
All right, welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. And if you want to go ahead and introduce yourself, tell us where you live and what you do for a living.
Hey, Dan. This is Osmar Mansour. I'm a native of the Bay Area in California. I'm currently actually working on my own startup. In the past, I was at some big companies and some startups in the tech industry. Yeah.
Awesome. So can you tell me more about, you know, what your startup's called and what the idea is behind it, and also just, you know, I guess like the story of how you got started with it?
Yeah. So things I observed like as a developer and as a manager at startups and big companies is like, when I was a developer, I was like, well, you know, sometimes I would have a lot of meetings and kind of distractions throughout the day. And, you know, you'd wonder like what you actually did. Right. So I thought I had the idea to like, actually have like, what if I could have a playback, almost like a Twitch playback of my coding, of my own coding throughout the day. Right. Or week, whatever, you know. And also capture some of the experimental code that I did. You know, sometimes you write code, and you're like, oh, I wrote this thing, you know, a while back, but I didn't check it in, you know, but I, you know, I wish I could go back and get it. Right. So that's kind of how it started off. And so it's kind of like, you know, a time machine, right, for code. It doesn't really rely on GitHub or that or anything like that. And so that was the original kind of pain point. And then there's also like, well, what we're kind of been more recently doing is exploring it for teams. Like, okay, well, how can this, you know, does this make sense? And how can this work for teams? Like, let's say if I could view a playback of someone's pull request, you know, things like that. So yeah, that's pretty much, you know, how it started. And I got some encouragement from a senior engineer at Apple at the time, and then it was about 10 years ago, and of course I did nothing with that. And then later on I realized, wow, this is, you know, this technology, I guess, can be used to solve some team pain points. So that's when I got started years back. Yeah.
So when did you launch the company?
This was officially, it was around 3 years ago, but it, you know, I was just not really spending that much time on it. And now more like, I guess in the past year and a half, I'd say, that's when we actually got a team together and, you know, started spending more time on it and whatnot.
Makes sense. So I guess, like, let's just dive deeper here. So without mentioning obviously a customer name, but can you just give an example of a customer use case, like how many of your customers are using you guys today?
Yeah, so it's over 1,500 right now. A lot of them are actually like just individual developers. There's a few companies that are using it with their own teams. Yeah.
So 1,500 developers, and I guess like, what is it? So they pay like a certain amount per month, like subscription, like what does that look like?
Yeah, freemium model. Yeah, so it's like developers, you know, it's free, you know, up to a certain point, you know, you can get, you know, a certain number of repos and whatnot, yeah, like private repos. We're kind of modeling it similar to how GitHub was initially, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
But I guess I got those 1,500, like how many of those are paid?
Yeah, there's not that many that are paid right now. So, because we're still kind of figuring out like what, you know, what the limits are. So we recently kind of changed that, recently adjusted our pricing and our payment methods. So now you can get like, you know, 30-day free trial. Yeah. You could try it out. So try the pro plan for 30 days. So, you know, a few of the free trial people have signed up for that. But yeah, actually what we're kind of more interested in is actually like teams and kind of the B2B like businesses, you know?
So you're saying, yeah, because I mean, like from that standpoint, would they be paying per seat, or like what's the model for a company?
Exactly. Yeah, per seat. Yep.
So I guess like, right, you said that you have 1,500, most of them are not paying, but are you going to have to convert? Like, are you going to say, hey, listen, like, even though they signed up initially, it was like a free plan, are you going to, I guess, force them to get behind a paywall, or are those people locked in and they don't have to ever pay? Like, what is your plan with those, you know, I guess, like, most of your customers today who aren't paying?
Yeah, I think that's sort of the challenge, right? Is like, you know, we still want to have like this freemium model, right? Like, right. You know, again, similar to GitHub, I think like around 10 years ago, GitHub was like, okay, everyone is, you know, you're free, but then after a certain number of private repos, or storage limit, then you have to pay, right? So, you know, because of course, if you have freezers, that allows them to try it out for a little bit longer, see if there's value in it, you know? So yeah, I don't want to necessarily give that up. You know, I think the challenge is figuring out like, you know, what makes sense to charge people for the value that we're bringing, right?
For sure.
And, you know, and how can we deliver more of that value basically?
Right. So I guess like you mentioned GitHub a couple times. So I guess if someone, you know, would they be using you instead of GitHub, or I guess like what's the advantage, you know, of your platform versus GitHub for someone who's not sure which one to use?
Yeah, so that's a really good question. So we're not a replacement for GitHub. We're more like complement GitHub, right? So,
right.
You know, the idea is that, you know, we don't rely on commits, you know, we do sort of integrate with Git, right? So like we recognize like if you're on a branch, right, then we're like, okay, you're on this branch, you're streaming from that branch, okay, switch that branch, okay, switch that branch, right? Because we need to know for the purpose of streaming. But yeah, I mean, yeah, so it's not meant to replace GitHub. I mean, like maybe in the long term, like, you know, 10, 15 year future, you know, you could see how the idea of streaming could replace, you know, the manual actions of Git that people have to do. But then of course that also raises concerns. It could potentially raise concerns, right, about like, you know, privacy, security, things like that. Like, okay, what if I don't want to, what if I want to block out this window of time without streaming because I accidentally pasted in my API key or something like that, right, when I was just testing and stuff like that. So,
right.
You know, so yeah, there's kind of those kinds of questions. Like that's maybe much more long-term thing, but for now it's like, you integrate with GitHub so you can actually, we're launching a tool that you can see the playback of a pull request within GitHub itself,
right,
with the intention that, you know, you can actually understand. It's not just like a diff of like plus and minuses lines of code. You can actually understand the thought process of the developer by viewing that playback, and then hopefully reduce the amount of time that it takes to actually, you know, comprehend what's going on and things like that. So
for sure. So obviously, you know, having 1500 users is pretty impressive. So how did you get all these signups and, you know, have all these PM people using your platform in the last 3 years?
So to be honest, it's mostly been through like social media. We used to actually be a lot more active on social media, but we're hoping to get that started again early next year, which is like in a week. But mostly just been like that, right? Like word of mouth, social media. We spent like a little bit on Google AdWords. I think we were spending like $1 a day,
okay,
for the past several months. You know, right. but now that we've got, you know, our pricing figured out, like, so now we've actually, now we're actually going to start spending more money, maybe like $30 a day or something like that, which is still, you know, for how much that sort of spend on Google ads, like we're fully bootstrapped. So we don't have millions of dollars just burn on that. You know, I've been at startups in the past where it's like people spend like $2 million on Google ad campaigns that got nothing back, you know, so it's right.
Well, that's, I'm curious, right? Because you mentioned social media. So when you say social media, like which platform did you use and which ones are you planning on ramping up next year?
Yeah, so we used LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, but those are, so Twitter and Instagram, I mean, they're all pretty much like inactive right now, right? So since we're actually working on like a redesign that we launched a few months back. So then I think once we launched this pull request feature, that's something that like a lot of engineering managers told us that they would really want to have. So that's when we want to like kind of go public and announce it and things like that. And it's sort of keep up those efforts again. Yeah.
Right. So just to be clear, like you mentioned that you got the pricing down and you have like the freemium model, so 30 free days. So if I'm going to sign up after 30 days, like how much are you charging per month for one seat?
For an individual, it's $10 a month, or okay, you know, $5, right? For a team, it's $15 a month.
$15 a month for how many seats?
Oh, per seat.
But does a team get more features than like an individual would?
Yeah. So you get So just this team features, right? So you can get like the stability to you can actually just have like your entire org structure. You know, again, like similar to GitHub, right? You can have like, you know, an org, a team, and the team can have other teams, right? So and then you have like the permissions as well. So like admin and developer and whatnot, and outside collaborators and things like that.
Right.
Yeah.
So like obviously now, as you just mentioned, that we're about to go into the new year. So, you know, for next year to be successful, if we, you know, talk, you know, again in 1 year, where do you, like, how many users do you want to have? And I guess like when I said, I mean, paid users paying this between $10 to $15 a month?
Yeah. So, are you asked by the end of next year?
Yeah. Like what's the vision for the end of 2024? Like, what's your goal? Like, how many paid users like, do you guys want to have to be successful or to make it successful for next year?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, the goal is to have about 10,000. By the end of next year. Of course, that is pretty aggressive. But we're also have been looking into other types of customers as well. So, you know, I mentioned like businesses, but there's also like boot camps. So we think that there's going to be a lot of interest from like boot camp instructors that, you know, like their students don't know Git, right?
Right.
So they have no idea what the students are doing, right? And they don't know how they got to that solution. Do they, I don't know, what if they just use ChatGPT or something like that, right? Or they don't actually understand something and they got help from a friend, right? But the thing is, you just got to know, like, you know, what the students are actually, what their thought process is. So I think this could be a big hit with that. Yeah, but that's you know, that's something else we're thinking. We're also going to bring on another co-founder as well. So, yeah.
So in terms of getting in front of boot camps, right, like, are you looking at more partnerships? Or I guess, like, what are you looking at to, you know, like, how are you going to get in front of these bootcamp instructors?
Yeah, we're going to build relationships with the leadership of these bootcamps, right? So you know, the owners and managers and things like that, and then, you know, use that to introduce it to the instructors, right? At the end of the day, it's all about whether the instructors would find value in this thing. And then, you know, give them a free trial for, let's say, 3 months, whatever it is. And, you know, if it delivers value, you know, within 3 months, then it'll be obvious, right? And right. If not, then okay, well, then hopefully we got some feedback, right?
Right. So essentially like a cold message on X or LinkedIn into a bootcamp instructor saying, hey, listen, check out this platform. Your students would love it. We'll give you guys a free trial for a few months. And if they like it, then they would just, you know, ideally come back and keep working with you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. We have some contacts with people who own boot camps. So yeah, for the most part, like the bigger ones, those would be cold messages and or figuring out like if we can get a warm intro or something like that.
For sure. Yeah. So what would you say is like the one biggest piece of advice that you wish you knew before you started this company?
Oh yeah, there's so yeah, there's so many. The first piece of advice is like actually hire a professional designer. So you know, we're fully bootstrapped and I wanted to save as much money as I could. So I was like, you know what, I'll just use my own sense of design for how we're going to build this thing. So I think like, you know, I did the best that I could, but you know, as like a back-end engineer, it's not going to be great, you know? So I wish I just spent like an extra, you know, on Fiverr, right? You can hire a really good designer for like 5,000, 7,000 bucks, right? But that's actually going to save you tons of time and effort in just like, yeah, in doing it yourself and having to redo the whole front end and all this stuff. So yeah, I mean, that's one thing, like just plunk the money down, get a professional designer. Don't try to wing it. Cause people really do care about that, you know, design, UI, UX. The second thing is, like on hiring, like initially I was trying to go with like, you know, part-time people and stuff like that and kind of just doing, yeah, like hiring part-time folks, right? But like they have their own jobs, right? But they're doing this kind of on the side. And that, but other than that, that really doesn't work because it's such a challenge to get them to, you know, anyone, it would be in the same situation, right? Like getting them to prioritize, you know, this work, right? So yeah, I would just hire like a full-time person from the get-go, right? And and also just like not hiring too fast as well. You just want to make sure you can kind of be steady and kind of ensure that you build trust with the existing team before bringing on new folks, you know? Yeah, I mean, all our team is overseas, you know, the dev team at least, right? So
which
that's,
country?
In Pakistan.
Okay, yeah, like my team's in Pakistan, so like my co-founder's there, so.
Oh, okay. Small world. Yeah. Yeah. And awesome. And there's one, we have one guy in the Philippines. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, like, and optimize, if you're hiring people overseas, right? Because everything's remote, right? And, you know, there's basically no accountability. So it's like, you want to optimize for trust, you know, which is really, really hard to do, actually. So, I mean, I don't know if I have any advice on that, but then that's on how to actually do that. But then, you know, this is, of course, going to be more of an issue with hiring directly, right? Like if you go through a consultancy firm, you can like, yeah, you can, the trust is there because those consultancy firms, right, the software houses, as they call them, like keylog, a lot of them have keyloggers on the developer machines, you know, yeah. Like they know, like they their developers are in the office 9 to 5, you know, there's no way that they're going to be juggling like multiple clients or anything like that, right?
For sure.
Yeah, but of course you pay a tons of premium on top of that, right? And if you're, you know, if you have a, you know, if you had like a couple of million in funding or something, that then sure, why not? But you know, if you're bootstrapped, then you know, then that you won't be able to do that, you know.
For sure, yeah, it can definitely be difficult. I think, as you said, right, being bootstrapped, you're always looking for different ways to iterate. So, if somebody watching this wanted to reach out to you, do you mind sharing your company website or social media handles? I guess best ways to get in contact with you.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I can, I'll share that.
Well, if you mind, if you can just tell us, you know, here.
That okay. Oh, absolutely. Sure. It's CodeSync. That's a code SYNC.com.
Yeah. Awesome. And then CodeSync on Instagram and Twitter as well. And LinkedIn.
Yeah. CodeSync app on Twitter, but yeah, CodeSync as well. Yeah. On LinkedIn and Instagram. Yep.
Awesome. Osmar, thank you so much for your time, and we're rooting for you. Hopefully you guys reach your goal and then some in 2024.
Yeah, thanks so much, Dan. It's great talking to you.
Thanks. Likewise. All right. Bye.
Bye-bye.